The master osteopath. That's what we're talking about, the master osteopath.
The master what?
The master osteopath.
What does that mean?
Osteopath is a doctor that deals with, well, he has emphasis on the interrelationship of the muscular skeleton system to bring it back into harmony again.
Chiropractor?
No. Usually an osteopath is a chiropractor does that too. I'm not cutting chiropractors down. Yes, they do that.
So
and physical therapists. What?
Is that where osteoporosis comes from?
Osteo, yes. Osteo means your bones. And Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, talking about the boneyard. Okay? Yeah, the Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel 37. We're going to look at something in here. every now and then I have a revelation, you know. When you study deep, you get to study and you see something and you see it over and over and over and over again. And finally, it just jars you and this is it. This is a good one. If I can make it come out like it is, it'll be really great. The master osteopath of the universe is what we're talking about. Ezekiel 37.
Valley of the Bones.
Yeah. All right. Hayata Ale Yod. That's how it starts out. And became the hand of Jehovah. Jehovah. You know what Jehovah is. Now, when you come on to the name Jehovah in the Bible, what do you say? The Jews say what when they come to the name Jehovah? They won't speak it. What do they say? Hashem, Adonai. All right. Hashem or Adonai or Hadabar, the Word. Okay. And was on me the hand of Jehovah, and he brought me Baruah, is what it says, in spirit. In spirit of Jehovah, again, this is pretty good. Now, you looking at that in there in your sacred name Bible? Is this agreeing with what I'm saying, Bill? You got that thing open? A lot of what, the title Jehovah is just used over and over and over in here. And made me to rest in the middle of a valley. Habagol. All right? Habakkuk. And it had become full, Milah, of Astamot. 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 That's the word right here. Astamot. It was full of bones. Bones. Astamot. Now, in the Septuagint, it's osteon. I wrote it in Greek, and there it is down in where you can understand, osteon. We got our word osteo from that, which means bones in Greek. Remember, the Latin language is what? The language of what? Come on, Ewens. No. The Latin language is the language of the law. Because the Catholic Church turned everything over to the Latin, and that was the Latin. Every thesis and everything was written in Latin. All right? But Greek is the language of medicine and psychology. Okay? All medicine, language, psychology, and science. All right. So here we have the word osmiot and osteon.
That's weird the way they're pretty similar, even though
really yes.
Hebrew.
There's a lot. Some Greek came from Hebrew. Some Greek came from Hebrew. One word, I believe this word here, it's a lot similar to it. May have the same roots, but another one is Amen, and another one is paradise. All right? All of those words come from it. This bones, Astamot. And he made me pass among all and around, and behold, many meod, many, exceedingly. upon the face of the valley floor. There were many bones upon the faces of the valley floor. All right? The surface, the faces. All right? Of the valley floor. And I'm reading this out of Hebrew for you, but in the English, okay? And behold, there were exceedingly many. And he said to me, Son of Man. Look at that term, Son of Man. Son of Man. Let's think about the word Son of Man again. How many times is the word Son of Man used in the Gospels? Many times, because he's showing that Jesus is related to us. He's the Son of Mankind. Okay? And he says, can these have breath again? The bones. Ha astamot. These bones, these. Ha aleh. And I said, Wayomer. And I said, actually what he says here, and I kept on saying, Wayomer is a third person masculine singular, call while consecutive imperfect in Hebrew. That means he kept on saying, he just kept on repeating this over and over and over again. And he said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, is what he's saying here. Adonai Jehovah. Is that what it says, Bill? Is that what it says there? What does it say there in that the third verse, the end of it?
Yes. Master Jehovah.
Yeah, Adonai. Jehovah, Adonai Jehovah. You know all things. And he said, I want you to prophesy for me, Hinavi. I want you to prophesy to the bones, these, and say to them, bones dry. These bones were very dry. Now, it means they're very dead. When bones are dry out there, they're dead, aren't they?
Dead for a long time.
Yeah, they've been dead for a long time. Now, do you think that these bones can live again? Taya? Do you think they can live again? The life can go back into these bones? All right? And it says, and hear the word, the bar, Jehovah. The word, the bar, to Jehovah. Now let's go back and look at some things and see what we can look at this. This is very beautiful. We can go through the rest of it and we can read it. But let's look and see some things. Now I looked at the word Adon, or Adonai. And I kept looking at this. I looked at it on page 8 in Davidson's Analytical Hebrew Chaldee Grammar. And I looked at it on page 16 on the Aramaic, Chaldee, and Hebrew Kohler and Baumgartner. And I looked at it on page 14 in Gesenius and on page 10 and 11 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And where it all starts out, it says pillar, foundation. That's where it starts, pillar, foundation. Pillar, foundation. Now, how in the ancient times, how was ever society, ever great nation, how was it, what was it built upon? What was ever great nation built upon? Alexander the Great. The Greek Empire. The Romans. The Caesars. Alright? Nebuchadnezzar. Then we have Northern European, every one of them. How about old Eric the Red? All these people that explored and they dominated. They were potentates. They were masters. We get all this word, all of this out of that word, Adon. Then I got to thinking. I looked over this for months and months now. Months I've been looking at this word. All of a sudden the other day, it just slapped me. Jesus said what? Matthew 16:18. Huh? Matthew 16:18. Let's go there. Look at it. That bread is late again today. If he even going to get here, he's supposed to have taken all these notes down. He'll come in here behind, 10, 15 minutes behind. Matthew 16 and 18. I know that Brother David knows it. Most of you Brother Davids, they know how to translate this. Okay? The translation in the English Bible is poor. All right? Brother David.
Mine's the New American.
Yeah, the New American Sabbath. But you got some things written in around it, don't you? You do. Okay, let's have it.
And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church.
Okay, but it's not and, it's but.
But and
upon this rock, he's pointing to himself. He's put upon this rock, I shall be building the church in me, and the gates of hell shall not be wrestling her down. The gates of hell will not wrestle her down. So what is he? He's a foundation. A foundation rock. Think about it. Sunshine.
So the ones that have and instead of but are incorrect?
Oh, the word and there is not and. It's a strong adversative conjunction. It's but. It's but.
So they did it
okay. It should not be and. It should be, well, the first thing, when the King James translated that, they believed that Peter was the rock. So they're going to translate it that way. Simple as that. That's Catholic Church believes that. And the Episcopalian Church came out of the Catholic Church and they thought Peter was the first pope. Peter wasn't the first pope. He is not the rock. Jesus is the rock. Now, if you've got Matthew 16 and 18. All right. We find out all the way through the New Testament. Now, what did Peter say about Jesus? Now, Peter was there, wasn't he? All right. And I also say to you that you are Peter. But upon this, the rock... Petra. Peter's word is, his name is Petros. But this word Petra, that's feminine. That's a great big gigantic rock. This is the foundation like Adonai, Adon is. Okay? I shall be doming up of me the church and the gates of the unseen world, the gates of hell, shall not wrestle her down. Okay? Now let's go to 1 Peter 2.
So the name Hades,
hell? Hades, yeah. Hades. That's the word Hades. Hadu is what it is here. Of Hades. All right, now let's go to 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8. Find out what Peter says about the rock. Saying what he finds out about the rock. The master osteopath. The master of the dry bones. Let's go on. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter, are you there, Sister Andino?
Yes.
Okay.
1 Peter 2:4 says, coming to him as to a living stone rejected indeed by men.
All right, now Jesus was a living stone. And he was what? Rejected by men. The living foundation, a living rock. The rock that followed Israel in the wilderness. The rock, the foundation, the pillar of the truth in the New Testament. Go on, Sister Andino.
But chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, the Holy Priesthood, to offer up the spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I laid in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in him.
This is the foundation. This is the rock.
A cornerstone?
That cornerstone, yes. And we are little rocks placed upon that foundation as members of New Testament churches. Go ahead.
And he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
All right, there is who he is. Peter tells us who the stone was. So the stone was not Peter, was it? The stone was Jesus Christ. He's the rock that followed Israel in the wilderness, okay? Now, let's go to... Romans 8 and verse 11. Romans 8 and verse 11. He's the master of the universe. He's the master osteopath. He's the one that's going to raise us all from the dead. All. He's the master of the resurrection. Who's over there? Anybody there? Nina?
Yes. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as He raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you.
All right. Now, when we have the Spirit of God come in us at salvation, that marks us for the resurrection. All right. Now, we know that there aren't three gods, are there? I mean, a lot of people believe in three gods. That's a lot of so-called Christians believe in three gods. Catholics believe in four gods. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Mary, the Mother God. Okay, I had them tell me that over there in the Middle East when I was over there. You believe in four gods. I says, no, I'm not a Catholic. And I don't believe in three gods either. I believe in one God. Who raised Jesus from the dead? God did. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit raised Him from the dead, which is the triune God. Not three gods, but triune God. Okay? Now, who's going to raise us? Who's going to be the God of the resurrection? Who's going to put together our bones? God. Jesus is going to shout out. The word Adonai means judge. It means ruler. Is Jesus the judge? Is He going to judge all mankind? Alright, He's going to judge all mankind. Guess who's going to help Him judge? His ecclesia, His church. That's right. The church is going to judge angels. That's what it says. We won't go into all these places. All right, Romans 8 and 11 and 36. Romans 11 and 36. Let's go there.
Excuse me, Jim.
Yes.
This one here is out of the Sacred Name Bible.
Uh-huh.
It's great. Can I read that?
Well, yes.
On the 8th, you guys are going to love this.
Uh-huh.
It says, moreover, if the Spirit of Him that raises Joshua from among the dead dwelt in you, He that raised from among the dead the Messiah Joshua shall make alive even your death-doomed bodies through means of His indwelling Spirit within you.
All right. We're talking about the master osteopath of the universe, the master osteopath. All right. 11:36. Now let's go to 11:36.
Romans
11:36. We went to Matthew 16 and 18. We went to 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6, wasn't it? All right. And Romans 8 and 11. Write all this stuff down now, Brett. Get your pen out. Romans 11, 36 now. David, are you over there? David Ash? Romans 11, 36, are you there yet?
I'm here.
Go get David Ash. Go ahead.
From Him and through Him and to Him are all things to whom glory forever.
All right. Say that one more time, very distinctly and very loud. Now, who is the master of the universe?
For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things to whom be glory forever. Amen.
All right. Now, we know that through Jesus came all things. He is the master. He's Adonai. He's a pillar of the whole universe. All right. Colossians 1, 16 through 18. Colossians 1, 16 through 18. Colossians 1, 16 through 18. Adonai, Jehovah. We've studied where the word osteon is Greek. Osteopath means somebody that studies the alignment of the bones and everything. And we have osmiot here in Hebrew. We start out Ezekiel 37, 1 through 4. Who's over there in Colossians 1, 16 through 18? Sunshine.
For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy.
All right. That's our Adonai Jehovah, isn't it? Now let's turn to 1 Kings 7:21. You know, the Bible doesn't tell any new stories. It just repeats truths over and over and over again. And as I was studying the word Adonai, I saw it meant pillar and foundation. Adon, that's what it means. Pillar and foundation. And I looked through page 8, Davidson's, Chaldee and Hebrew analytical lexicon. And I looked at page 16 in Kohler and Bumgardner, page 14 in Gesenius, and page 10 and 11 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And it all starts out, it means pillar and foundation. But as we said, every nation is built upon some great warrior king, potentate. Alright? Alright, who's over there now in 1 Kings 7 and 21? Brother Rex, you over there?
No.
No? Who's over there? Anybody? 1 Kings 7:21. This here ought to just throw a little bit more light on it. A little more light.
First Kings 7:21.
Anyone there? Brother Rex, you there? All right.
Thus he set up the pillars at the porch of the nave.
Okay, now hold on. Let's go back and find out what's going on here. Solomon is getting ready to build the temple. And in front of the temple, there are two pillars that hold up nothing but the universe. They hold up the universe because they stand for somebody very important. They stand for some. Those pillars stand for Jesus. Remember Adonai, Adon, what does it mean? Pillar and foundation. We find out all about it. Go ahead, Brother Rex.
And he set up the right pillar and named it Jashin or whatever you
Joachim.
Call it. And he set up the left pillar and named it Boaz.
All right. Joachim means what? He shall establish. He shall establish. Joachim. He shall establish. Boaz means what? Remember, we looked at that. In his might, in his power, in his strength. Art's going to like this one. He shall establish. Just think about that now, Matt. Go back over there, Matthew 16 and 18. What did the pillar, Joachim, establish as a truth? That Jesus would call out his church, and he would establish. Not only that, he would establish, but he established the whole universe. He's the master osteopath of the whole universe. He's going to make everything click and join together of the whole universe. All right. Revelation 19. Now, if Jesus is Adonai, Jehovah, Adonai Ha'Adonai'im Jehovah, Adonai, Ha'Adonai'im, he's the King of kings and Lord of all the lords. He's the master potentate. All right? It should say that someplace in the New Testament, shouldn't it? It does in the Old Testament in several places. It tells us who Adonai, Ha'Adonai'im is, the Lord of lords and King of kings. Matthew, the 19th chapter, or not Matthew, Revelation, the 19th chapter, 12 through 16. Who's over there? Are you over there, Bill?
Yep.
All right. Spout that out for me, okay?
His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns.
All right. Here we have a master potentate, don't we? On his head was many diadems. Diadema. Diadema is not a Stephanos, a crown. All right. He had a crown also, a Stephanos, which he got by right of birth. That's a Stephanos. But a diadema in Greek is something you get by right of conquest. You conquered it. And there were many streamers. They said Alexander the Great, he wore a crown, but on the crown, down from the crown were many diadems. Every province that he conquered was a diadem. When Dakota graduated from high school the other day, they had different colors, a different stream. They were like diadems, okay? And around her neck was a white diadem. on with a gold medal, which meant that she had graduated. There was only 60 people chosen out of that whole great big class of people in her school for the academy. And she was, and 52 of them graduated. 8 of them dropped out because it was too hard. And they went out and graduated the rest of the high school. Diadems. So she had this ribbon with a gold coin around it that said that she had accomplished, that she had graduated from this deal. All right? And the other ones had different ones. On their diplomas, a high school diploma, if she was on the honor roll, she got a gold seal on it. Well, she got a gold seal. And they also got to wear a gold pin. These are awards. Okay? Awards. Now, that's what it's talking about here. These are the different awards that Jesus won. These are the things that he accomplished. Every streamer, every diadem that came from that Stephanos conquered. He conquered some area. What else in the Bible, what does it say he conquered? Death, hell, and the grave. And he walked over the master liar of the universe, didn't he? The master liar, the old devil. He conquered him, didn't he? All right, go on a little bit further, Bill.
It said for many crowns he had a name written that no one knew except himself.
Well, now listen to this. How do we say the name Jehovah? We don't know. We don't know how to say that name. Who is that? That's Jehovah. That's the name, Hashem. That's Hadabar, the Word. That's who it is. Adonai. As the Jews say, and who, every time that they come to the name Jehovah, they will not say it, they will say Adonai, which means Master, Lord. Who is it talking about? They could say Jesus, except to spit. They won't say that, though. No. Brother Bill.
He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood.
A robe dipped in blood. Now, we would think about that, a robe dipped in blood. Boy, that would be... But what blood was it dipped in? His own blood. The redemption of the... He not only... John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world. The world. The universe. The cosmos. In Genesis 1:1, it says, Barashith bara Elohim. Et Hashemayim. And then what? It says God created the universe. All the space out there and everything and all the planets and everything. And then it says, and the earth. And then he took the earth and put it in exactly the right place. He placed it. That's the master. Remember what osteopath means? It's a doctor that studies the alignment of all the bones as it interrelates to the whole body and all the functions of the body. Okay, he's the master osteopath. He's the master osteopath of the universe. Bill.
And his name is called the Word of God.
That's right. Guess what? His name is called what? The Var in Hebrew. We just looked at that a while ago. And in Hebrew, and in the Greek, is what? The Logos. And so what is Logos mean? Jehovah. That's the word that it means, Jehovah. It's that unspeakable name that nobody knows how to speak. And I don't know how to speak it either. A lot of people say Yahweh or whatever it was. Yehovah. Whatever. It's something like Yah. But we don't know how to say it. Go ahead, Brother Bill.
In heaven, clothed in white linen, white and clean.
What does white mean? Purity and righteousness. All right, he is our righteous judge, isn't he?
Is that the angels in heaven they're talking about?
No, he's clothed in white.
No, these people. I mean,
yeah, they're all clothed in white, which is his righteousness.
Are they angels or what?
People.
Oh, people. Okay.
Yes, and angels. Angels are clothed in white too. All right.
Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. That with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron.
Right.
He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written.
Hold on now. Let's just talk a little bit about more about it. He's going to align all of our bones one of these days. He's going to resurrect us. We're talking about the master osteopath, Dr. John. We were talking about chiropractors a while ago. We were talking about how they line bones and got everything working right in bodies. We have a master osteopath that is going to line up everything in the world again, and he's going to line up all Ezekiel, the 37th chapter is what we're talking about. The valley of dry, dead, dead, dead bones. Okay? Go ahead, Brother Bill, a little bit more.
Okay, I got a note here. Adonai, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
All right, Adonai Ha-Adonaiim. That's what it is. Adonai Ha-Adonaiim. Jehovah. That's who it is. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Sister Andino knows more about this verse than anyone here in this room. I have to say that, and I'm telling the truth. Am I telling the truth, Sister Andino? You know what this verse means, don't you? Yeah. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. 20 and 21, yeah.
To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
All right. To him be glory in the church. What was that? Remember 1 Peter 2? Let's go back to 1 Peter 2. All right. 1 Peter 2. 4 through 6, I think it was 4 through 8. To him be glory in the church, because the church is built upon him. He is the master. Remember the word Adon, Adonai, what does it mean? According to Davidson, Kohler and Baumgartner, Gesenius and Brown, Driver and Briggs, what is the root of it? Pillar and foundation. All nations are built, all potentates, all nations are built upon some potentate, some master ruler, some prince or whatever, but that prince is the foundation of all these nations.
Is that, which one is that hook to?
What?
The Hebrew one, is it right above it?
Hebrew.
Okay, that's
Atzimot.
Atzimot.
Osion. Remember, all Greek is the foundation of medical and scientific terms. Okay. Osion.
So pillar and foundation, there was that.
You better start getting here on time. You hear me? All right, where were we? 1 Peter 2. All right, 1 Peter 2. Are you over there, Brett? 1 Peter 2. Get something out of you here before the day's over. You even got a Bible in your hand and pencils and everything else. I mean, you're doing better. 1 Peter 2. We may get him learned up yet. We may learn him something. 1 Peter 2.
The first chapter.
1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter 2. Remember we looked at that a while ago.
It's in the end, Brett.
Yeah, it's in the New Testament. Hey, kind A, do you think it? 1 Peter 2. We're waiting for you, fella. We've been waiting for you all day. You ought to listen to the rest of this sermon here, the front part of it. I was talking about you a lot. 1 Peter 2. All right. I'm teaching this over again because you need it. But we need to reinforce this of what we're talking about. Ephesians 3:21. Through the church and this church age that we live in, it's going to exist all the way through eternity. All the way through eternity. Not just for a while, not just for the 1,000 years, but for the whole eternity. Okay? Are you over there yet, Brett?
Yes.
Okay. 1 Peter 2, 4.
And coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God.
All right. Hold on right there. Now we've talked about this. Who is this living stone? Jesus. Foundation. Jesus. Okay? 5. Number 5, Brett. Kaiotoi.
You also have living stones. You are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
All right. Hold on. We're not finished with that yet. All right. The priesthood. We're a holy priesthood. The whole church is a holy priesthood today. The church is a holy priesthood. You're working. But God is working through His church in the world today. The church age, see that over there? Grace, the church age, right there in blue, right after the cross. All right? All right. We're going to offer up spiritual sacrifices. You want to get serious with the Lord? Go to church. That's where you go. You get serious with the Lord right there. Acceptable. Acceptable sacrifices through Jesus Christ. Six now. Are you over there, Brett?
Yes. Well, this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone.
An elect stone. An elect stone. A picked out stone. All right? By the way, there's two elections in the Bible. The election of Israel and the election of the church. The election of Israel and the election of the church. Two elections in the Bible. Picked out and chosen, elected in Zion, a stone. A stone what? Chosen and what kind?
So it says he,
a cornerstone. Precious. Now what was a cornerstone now? What? How did they pick out a cornerstone? To build a build the whole weight of the building set on a cornerstone. You remember in the Old Testament when Samson was in that great big building? He went over there and he told him, boy, bring me to the pillar on which the building stands, the cornerstone. Below that pillar was a cornerstone. Bring me to it. Now, under that cornerstone, they would take it and they would pick it out and they would polish it to see if there was any cracks or anything in it. A cornerstone could not have any cracks because a cracked cornerstone, what happens? The building can fall down. If it goes ahead and fractures, it can fall down. So they would polish the stone and make sure it didn't have any cracks in it. These great artists in the Roman times and the Greek times, when they would go out and pick out marble, they would make sure that they didn't have any cracks in the marble. Because they would be chipping along and going on, and all of a sudden, when they would get this masterpiece made, and all of a sudden, they chip the last thing, and the thing just crumble and fall apart. Very important to pick out a good stone. I remember I used to be a pipe maker, or the pipe carrier among the Lakota people for a long time, what we call a spiritual leader. And I made pipes, and we'd get pipestone. You had to look at that pipestone and polish it real good before you made a pipe out of it, because you could spend a whole lot of time making a pipe. The first time I did that and made a mistake, I made a double humpback bowl. That was the one what the people, if you saved somebody's life among the Lakota people, they would let you smoke this pipe that had two bowls on it. That's what they call a double humpback bowl. Because you saved somebody's life. And you were honored in taking that. And that was the smoking of the pipe was prayer. It was like the Lord's Supper to the Lakota people. That's when you communed with God. That was prayer, sending your prayers up to Him. You had to polish the stone to see if it was worthy to be a cornerstone. Was Jesus worthy to be a cornerstone? Was He tested and tried? That's right. Okay, Brett. Go on a little bit further. See, I had to stop there.
And he who believes in Him will not be disappointed.
You believed upon Him. That word upon Him. You believed upon Him. Think about that for a while. Believed upon Him. You are built upon Him. You believed upon Him. Believed upon, like a stone placed upon the cornerstone. When Samson stood there and he pushed that pillar and broke that pillar, the whole building crashed down, didn't it? I'm going to tell you something. If your religion, if your truth, if your church is not built upon Jesus, you have got a false foundation. You've got problems. You've got problems. You do. It'll fall down and it'll burn up. The works, all that you've done for the Lord will burn up in eternity. Go ahead, Brett. You won't be ashamed.
This precious value then is for who believe, but for those who disbelieve. The stone which the builders rejected, this becomes the very cornerstone.
All right.
Is that talking about Israel?
That, no. No, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus is the stone. Israel rejected. Yeah, Israel rejected Jesus. But Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. Now let's go back in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 4, and look at it again. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 4. And we'll understand it. I want to read this to you. Brett, you weren't here for one thing. Now go back to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 4. I'm going to read this one more time. It won't hurt you to do it anyway, to go back over it again. You know what you do when you teach somebody? You teach and you repeat and you repeat and you repeat until they got it. They catch it. Finally. I told my students, learning is a process. There's a time element in learning everything. A lot of people, they'll study my classes and they'll, like I have 80 classes or 40 classes or whatever, and they keep listening to the first one over and over and over again. They say, I can't get it all. I said, well, by the time you get to the 10th or 15th classes, you listen to all of them, you'll understand what the first one said. Okay? And that's the way it is.
Which verse is
it? Number one. 37 in verse number 1. Let's look at it now. And became on me the hand of Jehovah. The Yod of Jehovah. Yodah. And he brought me in spirit, Baruah, in spirit of Jehovah, and made me rest in the midst of a valley. In the midst of a valley. Ha big koyodol, in the midst of a valley, and it was full of ostomote bones. And he made me pass by among all and around, and behold, many, very many upon the face of the valley floor. And behold, Wehenei, and behold, they were many, or very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these very dry bones ever have life in them again? Can they have life in them again? These bones, ha-osteomot, hale, these. And I said, I kept on saying, remember, it's Vayomer, third person singular, masculine, call stem, while consecutive and perfect. He kept on saying, O Lord, Adonai Jehovah, Jehovah, Adonai Jehovah, over and over again. He kept saying that, you know, Adonai Jehovah, you know. And he said to me, prophesy to the bones, and say to the bones, these very dry bones, these bones that are beyond repair, they don't have any life in them, they're dead. Hear the bar of Jehovah, hear the word of Jehovah. All right, hear the word of Jehovah.
You got any books?
Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, that you may come to life. And I will put sinews on you. Here's we have the master osteopath, don't we? Remember that word? Osteopath. Osmiot and osteon is the two Greek word, the Hebrew and the Greek word where it comes from. I will put sinews on you, and I'll make flesh grow back upon you. Now this is the resurrection. He's going to resurrect us, but he's going to resurrect Israel. And he's going to use Israel again. I think last week I think I taught, will Israel be regathered? Will Israel be regathered? Yes, Israel will be regathered. Israel is being regathered right now, but they're just ungodly as they can be today. They don't believe in the Messiah. If you try to get them to say Jesus is Jehovah, they would spit today. And they won't see him again until they say what? Last week, what did I say? Baruch Hashem. Blessed is he that came in the name of the Lord. All right. Blessed is he that came in the name of the Lord. And I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back upon you, and I'll cover your skin and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am what? I am. I
I am, Jehovah.
That I am Jehovah. Behold, I will make you enter breath, ruah, let back into you again, and you will live. I will put sinews upon you, and I will spread flesh over you, and I'll breathe life back into you, and you will know that I am Jehovah. Now, who is it? Who is Jehovah that they have rejected? Who is Jehovah that they have rejected? Who did Israel reject? 1 Peter 2. They rejected Jesus. He was a cornerstone. He was Adonai. They come to the name Jehovah today and they say Adonai, pillar, foundation. But they won't accept Him that came to them. They won't yet. You know that I am Jehovah. Anoki, I am Jehovah. Verse number 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there was a noise, and a behold, a rattling of the bones came together, bone to its bone. How many of you heard the old songs? Huh? The old songs. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them. And flesh grew and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. Who is the only one that can put life in anything? God. Hayah. He can put spirit. He can put nefesh, soul. Ruah. Ruah is spirit, soul, life. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the breath, thus said, that means breath, means spirit in it. All right? Thus said the Lord God, that come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied at the command of me, and breath came into them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet. And they were an exceedingly great, a meod, exceedingly great army. Verse number 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the what? What's it say there? The whole house of Israel. Not Judah or whatever. It's the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, O bones are dried up. Our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Israel is cut off today in all reality, isn't it? In unbelief. But God's going to bring them back. Two out of every three Jews are going to be killed before He can do anything with them. Okay? Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, the Adonai Jehovah, behold, I will open your graves. And cause you to come up out of your graves. Joseph, hold on just a little bit. You're real close to the camera and it makes a lot of noise back there. Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. We'll bring you into the land of Israel. Okay? They're going to come out of the land of Israel. Last week he said, I'm going to go fishing for you. I'm going to go hunting for you. I'm going to whistle for you. I'm going to gather you up like a shepherd. I'm going to bring you back into the land. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your land. I will place you on your land. Now, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Now, whose land is that over there in the Middle East? Huh? Whose? The Lord's. It's not the Palestinians. It's not the Jews. It's not the half-breeds. It's not any of them. It's the Lord's land. And no one is ever going to have one speck of dirt until they recognize whose land it really is. The Jews say it's our land today. Their prime minister said, this is our land, I'm taking it all back. They aren't going to get it until they recognize who the Messiah is, and that dude still doesn't believe in Jesus. They don't do that. They're getting ready to build a temple. People have spent thousands of dollars, Christians have spent thousands of dollars to build the temple for the Antichrist. That's it, the temple for the Antichrist. The first temple is built over there. Jesus already built the temple. It's in heaven. Who's the light of that temple? Jesus is. What kind of floor does it have in it? Gold floors. Gold paving material. People are all out looking for gold today. Gold's a lot of money, isn't it? I mean, it's worth a lot of money. People are out gold mining. Brett, you got a big gold mine up there. Yeah, you got a gold mine. Joseph's got part interest in a gold mine. Yeah. But gold mine is only paving material in heaven. I want you to understand that's only paving material. They will know that I am the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, verse number 16, and you, son of man, take for yourself one stick and write on it. I want you to understand this. Now, if we talk about the lost 10 tribes, the 10 tribes were never lost. We had that with what we call a British Israelism. Okay? And Joseph Smith, what did he say about the lost 10 tribes? Huh? Do I look like a Jew? Brother Rex, does Brother Rex look like a Jew? Come on now. Rex, are you a Jew?
Of course.
But in all reality, what did Joseph Smith say? He said the American Indians were the lost 10 tribes. And they were bad, that's why they turned them dark. God turned them dark because they were bad. He's pretty prejudiced, you know that.
He was smoking too many peace pipes.
Joseph Smith has stolen old boy's paper or book that he was going to publish. It was called Paradise Lost. Solomon Spaulding was his name. And he talked about a mystical mystery novel about the American Indians being the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Of course, British Israelism. How many ever heard of Garner Ted Armstrong or Herbert W. Armstrong? Their whole theories were built upon that. Okay? Well, it's false. American Indians are not Jews. We're Indians. We are of Asian descent. You can look at that. Just take your DNA and you figure it out. That's how come I got these slanted eyes, see? I'm Asian. I'm not Jewish. Even though I do have, you know, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the women. Abraham married a Hamite, he married a Shemite, and he married a Japhethite, and he had children by all of them. So we're all related to Abraham, especially in the Lord, we believe. Take for yourself one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the sons of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim and the house of Israel, his companions. Now what he's talking about is in the land of Israel, there was Judah, and there was Israel. And after Solomon died, you know, we had this a divided empire. There was actually a divided empire before David. Did you know that? Remember we studied that. There was a divided empire and David reunited the empires. And later on, after that, they had a place of worship up on Mount Gerizim in Samaria. So they had a temple in Samaria, and they had one in Judah or Jerusalem. And they went their different ways. Now, the one in Samaria was actually on a false foundation. Even though they did, what did the Samaritans, what books of the Bible did they? They only would read and believe five books of the Bible. What? The what? The Pentateuch. The five books. The five books. They believe in the five books, the first five books of Moses only.
Okay. They didn't believe in the prophets?
Nope. Because the prophets did what? They talked about Samaria as being the wayward child and all this. But now God's going to take them all back together, and He's going to place them all back together. And many times in the New Testament, when Jesus is talking in the writers of the New Testament, it talks about the Jews as one people. They're Jews. Sons of Abraham. And join them for yourself, one to another, and in one stick, and they may become one in your hand. And when the sons of your people speak to you, saying, will you not declare to us what you mean by these things? In verse 19, this is very important. Say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the land of Ephraim, and of the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. In other words, Israel and Judah are one nation. And basically, when Jesus came, that's the way it was anyway. Period. Did Jesus shun as the Samaritans? Brother X? Did Jesus shun the Samaritans? No. He had more good to say about the Samaritans than he did the Judah, didn't he? All right. By the way, who was the father of the Samaritans? It just said this. Remember I told you over and over again. Who was the father of the Samaritans? Who was the father of the Samaritans? It just told you. But no. Yes, but no. Who was the father of Samaritans? No. Ephraim. But who was his father? Joseph. Joseph. Joseph of Egypt. Joseph was a type of the Messiah, wasn't he?
He who takes the curse away.
Huh? Joseph. Why did Jesus, when he went to and talked about Samaria, or Joseph's descendants, they accepted. How about the woman at the well? John the 4th chapter, that is. John chapter 4. The woman at the well. He wasn't even supposed to be talking to that woman, was he? No, not according to culture. But he did. And what happened? What happened there in Bethlehem? When he went there to Bethlehem. What happened in Nazareth? When he went to Nazareth. Where did he go to the synagogue? He always went to the synagogue in Nazareth where he grew up. Nazar means root or branch. Okay? He went there, and when he got up and said, and he quoted the scriptures to them, and he said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. What did they say? Hallelujah! Here's our Lord. What did they say? They tried to say, they said he was blaspheming, and they tried to kill him. When he went down into Samaria, Joseph's descendants, and he saved this woman, this unspeakable wretch, of a woman that had been unfaithful to at least four men and was living with somebody else's husband now. At the time, she was a wild woman. She was a what we call a what?
Prostitute?
Huh? She didn't have any respect at all. Nobody would even speak to her in public. She wasn't worthy of speaking to her. She was known as a less than a harlot.
Because when Jesus was talking to her at the wedding, he's like, you already know?
Yeah.
Like, where your husband? He's like, don't you mean your husband? Because she had already had a wife, I believe.
Yeah. All of the men that she'd been with. She was what we call a wild woman. Yeah. Or less than a harlot.
You say they wouldn't talk to her?
They couldn't talk. According to the rabbis, if you spoke to your wife in public, you were committing an indecency. And he spoke to a woman of ill repute in public. But she was a Samaritan. She was one of Joseph's descendants. And he spoke to her, and she was saved. And when she went into the village of Samaria, what happened? What happened to all these people? The village poured out to him to believe, not to kill him. Remember, in Nazareth, they poured out to kill him. Here they pour out to believe. And it says they all were saved. They all were believed. No, these are Samaritans. Samaritans. They are Jews. They are Joseph's descendants. Okay. Now they are half Assyrian. Okay, so they're half Assyrians. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before your eyes, and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them in one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king over all them. Who's that? It's sure not any king. It's not going to be the false Messiah. And they will no longer be two nations. They will no longer be divided into two kingdoms. And they will no longer defile themselves with their idols and with their detestable things or with any other transgressions. But I will deliver them from all of their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. And boy, it says that in the book of Acts, too. It said, you were once a no people. And we were nothing, weren't we? We were Gentiles, most of us, Gentiles. We were a no people. And my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them, and they shall live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, and they and their sons' sons forever. David, my servant, shall be the prince forever. This Christ, they have to accept Jesus. And I will make a covenant of peace with them, and I will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. And my dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am what? Let's look at that closely from Hebrew. Verse number 28. And they shall know, the nations, that Ani Jehovah, that I am Jehovah. Israel, before Israel can get that land, what do they have to do? They have to accept that Messiah. They will never have that land. They don't deserve that land until they accept that Messiah.
That's what the valley of dry bones is about.
Yeah. And I will sanctify them. Mikadesh. Israel. When shall be my sanctuary in their midst forever. Now, where is God? Is that sanctuary already built? You don't have to worry about building the temple over there. The temple that they're going to build in Jerusalem today is going to be for the Antichrist. That's who's in it. It's going to be the Antichrist. Yes, Brother Bill.
Can I read this chapter from the sacred names?
Yeah.
So shall the nations know that I, Jehovah, am following Israel from my sanctuary is in the midst of them in the times, ages of Biden.
That's right. Forever and ever and ever. In Greek, it's Ion Ton Ion. In Hebrew, it's Olam. Ages upon ages upon ages. When Israel finally accepts Jesus as a Messiah, and they will not have that land. They are not ready for it, and they don't deserve it today. I'm telling you, I mean, that's the way it is. Until they accept who Jesus is, they don't deserve the land. I don't care how much blood they shed for it or whatever. They don't deserve that land until they accept that Messiah.
Is that
what? That he's going to give it to them.
Right.
And they don't have to build a temple. And if they offer an animal sacrifice today, which they want to do in that temple, that is defamation. It's defaming God. Jesus is the Messiah. When in the book of Hebrews, whoever the writer of the book of Hebrews is, so what are you going to offer for a sacrifice? Any offer that you've offered for a sacrifice is nothing but blasphemy. If Israel offered her sacrifice today on Yom Kippur, it would be blasphemy because the Messiah offered his ultimate, pure, perfect sacrifice already. But God's going to use them. He's going to get them ready. But what's God going to have to do to them to get them there? First of all, he's called them into the land. And they're coming in with pride, aren't they? Pride. A proudful people. I've talked to Jews and I've talked to Arabs. And the Jew says, we're Abraham's children. What did Jesus say to him? Don't say you're Abraham's children. God can raise up children from rocks. And then the Arabs, what do they say? I won't worship a God that will pick out unconditionally a bunch of jerks like those Jews and take them and put them in this land. They don't deserve it, do they? No, they don't deserve it. Then they'll never have it until they believe. They're not going to have it until they believe. They're going to think they got it. They're going to think they got the world by the tail. That's right. Now, old Buck Owens, I wrote Tiger by the Tail. I was in the house when he was working on that song, Tiger by the Tail. And then the girl made in Japan, all that stuff. Tiger by the Tail. They think they got the world by the tail. You know, you see bulldogging today, don't you? You see bulldogging. How did they use the bulldog? They grabbed the bull by the tail. And then later on, this black cowboy would bite him on the nose and throw him. I had a dog one time named Yukon. Boy, he could throw a steer. He could grab it right by the nose and flip that thing. Throw it. But those Jews think they got the world by the tail because they're the chosen race. Well, they're the chosen race, all right. But I'll tell you what, they're not going to get the land until they accept the one who chose them. And that's that. And they're not ready. Even though God is bringing them into the land, He's still going to work them over because He's going to kill two out of every three of them. That's it. That's the story.
There's going to be a lot of tears shed.
There are going to be a lot of tears shed when they look upon Him. Remember last week? They looked upon Him whom they had pierced. And they bawled like one bawls for an only begotten son, an only son, the death of an only son. And they said, where'd you get those scars in your hands and in your side and in your feet? And He said, what? In the house of my friends. And they'll bawl some more. But they will not have that land until that. And there's not going to be very many people in the world. Five out of every six Gentiles is going to die. The world's going to be depopulated. Five out of every six Gentiles is going to die. And two out of every three Jews. But you know what happens? That the last one and the last third, the last sixth and the last third, they're going to hear Shemot. They're going to hear. They're going to listen. Akue. They'll listen. Thank you for your attention today. I was so excited about this lesson this week, I just couldn't hardly... I think I dreamed half of the night last night. In between Maryland, I dreamed I was over at the coast and working on a drilling rig over there, and she'd come over there and brought all kinds of stuff. We had three refrigerators in this motel room and a grand piano and all this stuff. I mean, she cluttered up everything. Whoa! And I had to move out of there. And I was having nightmares about this. But I got to preach in my sleep, too. God bless. I was ready to walk off and leave it all. Set it on fire. All right. Rest.